May you please be upstanding as we welcome Pastor Chris to come and give us the word. Let's stand up and encourage Pastor Chris to give us the word.
Actually, it's not me speaking today. It's someone very special that I'd love to introduce to you, God's House. Do have a seat. And this is Susie. Actually, you can just give her a clap as she's coming forward. Let's celebrate Susie. I'm excited, God's House, to be able to introduce you to Susie. She's someone who has a real passion for Africa. Spent lots of time in Uganda, South Africa. Sister lives in Tanzania and probably some other countries. Kenya, is there a Kenya connection? Oh, Granny's in Kenya. Okay. Was in Kenya. So this is Susie. And Pastor Fatima also asked me to mention that Susie's a doctor and a GP. And she started a charity, an organization called Papaya, which stands for Parents Against Phone Addiction in Young Adults. Wow. Young Adolescents. And it's a wonderful charity, national reach now, quite a big impact across the country. She's written a book, which we really recommend. And Pastor Fatima was asking if there's a way that you guys can have copies. And we've got quite a good stock at Hope Chapel. So, just want to commend Susie to you in many ways. And she's going to share an encouragement with us now.
Oh, thank you very much. It's great to be with you here today. And we're just going to think about thankfulness and how important our perspective is on thankfulness. So to start with, I think the kids have been amazing, but I actually was going to start by reading the children a story, but I think it's quite relevant to the grown-ups too. So should we go on to the next with some pictures? Yes, brilliant. You might know this one. A little old lady lived all by herself, with a table and chairs and a jug on the shelf. A wise old man heard her grumble and grouse. There's not enough room in my house. Wise old man, won't you help me, please? My house is a squash and a squeeze. Take in your hen, said the wise old man. Take in my hen? What a curious plan. Well, the hen laid an egg on the far side rug and flapped around the room, knocking over the jug. The little old lady cried, what shall I do? It was perfect for one, and it's tiny for two. My nose has a tickle, and there's no room to sneeze. My house is a squash and a squeeze. And she said, wise old man, won't you help me, please? My house is a squash and a squeeze. Take in your goat, said the wise old man. Take in my goat? What a curious plan. Well, the goat chewed the curtains and trod on the egg and sat down and nibbled the table leg. The little old lady cried, glory be, it was tiny for two and it's titchy for three. The hen pecks a goat and the goat's got fleas. My house is a squash and a squeeze. She said, wise old man, won't you play me please? My house is a squash and a squeeze. Well, it goes on to say, the little old lady cried, heavens alive, it was teeny for four and it's wincy for five. I'm tearing my hair out, I'm down on my knees. My house is a squash and a squeeze. She said, wise old man, won't you help me, please? My house is a squash and a squeeze. Take them all out, said the wise old man. But then I'll be back when I first began. So she opened the window and out flew the hen. That's better, at least I can sneeze again. She shooed out the goat and she shoved out the pig. My house is beginning to feel pretty big. She huffed and she puffed and she pushed out the cow. Just look at my house. It's enormous now. Thank you, old man, for the work you have done. It was weeny for five. It's gigantic for one. There's no need to grumble. There's no need to grouse. There's plenty of room in my house. And now she's full of frolics and fiddle-dee-dees. It isn't a squash and it isn't a squeeze. Yes, she's full of frocks and fiddle-dee-dee. So it isn't a squash and it isn't a squeeze. So today, I think we're going to look through the eyes of a children's storybook to really focus on thankfulness and our perspective, that actually the lens with which we choose to see our situation is so key. Because actually, the little old lady, her house didn't change size at all, did it? It was exactly the same house. But through changing her perspective on it, she actually was able to be thankful. Or, this is the classic, is your cup half empty or half full? It's the same cup, isn't it? But I want to say here today, in Jesus' name, our cup is actually full. None of us have a half empty cup. our cup is full. So our perspective is the difference between joy and sorrow. Gratitude and ungratefulness, forgiveness and unforgiveness. And our perspective can even make the difference between faith and unbelief. And why is it some people can navigate challenges with a smile, whilst others are floored by seemingly small events? And I would just want to say, I often think it's down to the lens or the perspective with which we see things. So today we're going to focus on thankfulness and why our perspective is so important. Now, what I love, we've already done this morning. Fatima's already led us in being thankful, but we're going to do it again because we can never do it enough. Let's take a moment to think about what we have to be thankful for. The birth of Jesus, the wonder of a servant king who was born and saved the world. God's miraculous intervention to save mankind by sending his own son. God's gift of grace. We've heard about that just in the birthday of an 18-year-old girl here. God's gift of grace to each one of us. His unconditional love for us, his kindness, his mercy, his forgiveness, his death on the cross, so that each one of us may be forgiven. That on the cross, sin was defeated once and for all. Jesus' healing and miraculous power in our lives. His provision of our needs. We've heard that in the testimonies for today. He provides for us. We are intimately known and loved by God. We have the scripture, the truth to live by. We are forgiven, and in that we have the truth that we can forgive others and the freedom to forgive others. That God's kingdom is upside down. In his kingdom, all are welcome. We know the truth and the freedom, and we find life in him. So that's just a few. And actually, I want us to keep going. I know we've done this already, but let's just shout out a few more truths of the kingdom of God that we're thankful for, because in that, we change our perspective. Let's just have one or two more thankfulness shouted out, things that we're thankful for today. The Holy Spirit. I missed that one out. I'm so glad you're here. We have the Holy Spirit that we're thankful for. Let's have some more things that we're thankful for in Christ. Healing, God's healing power that is readily available for each one of us. Salvation, that in Christ we are saved. So amazing. I just want us to focus, and I love the fact that this has been building this morning, that we have an attitude of gratitude. Our mindsets and thoughts are fixed on Jesus. And I hope, you know, I'm feeling better from being in this place of worship and spending, you know, this amazing time thanking God, this service of thanksgiving, and we're already there. And I think as Christians, we are inherently thankful. I really believe this. Think about it. All the things that we have to be thankful for, to be grateful for. And if we strip back everything to our salvation and what God's done for us, I really think if we're just focusing on the cross and on Jesus and on his birth and resurrection, our overwhelming emotion, all that we have actually is thankfulness. Think about that. If you take away everything else, what are we left with when we focus on the cross? It's thankfulness. But I think for some of us, life can get in the way. What is it that stops us waking up in the morning just proclaiming that good news with that heart of thankfulness? Because I feel like I should be skipping down the street praising Jesus. But why is it that I find it hard sometimes that I'm bogged down in the morning, that that's not the attitude that I wake up with? And but I love the fact that it grows when we're in God's presence. And as Christians, I think I'm going to just for myself say that I don't always walk in the thankfulness that I should. I'm not going to call anyone else out, but I think in me, I have blocks to my thankfulness. And I want us to think about, I'm going to talk about three blocks to our thankfulness today, that if any of them resonate and we can shift them away, then I think our attitude of gratitude can come back. So one, we're just going to think about comparison. So we live in a world where actually everyone else seems to have so much. We can see everyone else's lives on social media, can't we? We know what people have for breakfast, where they go on holiday, what car they're driving, what their kids are wearing. And I think sometimes this means we're less able to be happy with our own lives. And because of the fall, we are drawn to compare ourselves to other people. And it means that if we look at our lives through the lens of other people, it's much harder to be thankful for what we've got. And this is where the charity I run, Papaya, is actually a secular charity, but I believe we're bringing the good news to young people as we teach them not to view their lives through the perspective of social media, but to believe that they're enough as they are. Because social media has meant that we're just drawn to compare ourselves. And actually, that's so unhealthy when we think about comparison. Because you can see 1,000 other people's lives and all that they're doing, and actually it can make you feel less happy with yourself. Because comparison is the thief of joy. The truth is, in Jesus, we are enough, and in Jesus, we have enough. In Jesus, we are enough, and in Jesus, we have enough. There will always be someone who has more than you, that's more successful, that seems their life seems to be going better, that's healthier, that has more money. But the challenge is, in Jesus, can we focus on that we're chosen, called, loved, forgiven, that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that actually, if we're going through a hard time, I would say often that means we're in alignment with his kingdom, because we're called to pick up our cross and follow him. So I think going through hardship does not mean we're out of alignment. Sometimes, again, it's about the perspective with which we see it. I'm going to now mention the cares of the world as the second thing that can block us from our thankfulness. Now, our cares are very, very real. Many of us struggle with many things in life. If you're a young person here, you might have exams to worry about, friendships, worried about the future, school, where you're going to go to school, so many things that can be a care and a worry. If you're a little bit older, like me, you might be worried about your finances, your job, paying the bills, elderly relatives, your children's health, friends, family, your own health. There are so many cares that can come up and worry us and rob us of our thankfulness. But if we remember the parable of the sower, that seed was sown and was beginning to grow up beautifully. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for wealth all came in and choked that plant from growing. And this can happen so subtly. The thing about our cares and worry is that I think often we don't even notice them. I have loads of patients who just tell me, I'm a worrier. I worry, my family worry, it's just natural to worry. And on some levels it is, but that worry can rob us of being thankful. And the silent killer is that it chokes so silently, that worry just kind of creeps in and stops us being thankful. I've got lots of patients who have health anxiety, so they're completely fit and well, and actually they spend their whole time worrying about an illness they don't actually have. And my job is just to often look them in the eye and to call out the worry and to say, actually, you know, you are well, but it's the worry making you ill, not an illness you don't have. Because, and actually, we all need to recognize where worry can creep in and rob us of our thankfulness. Now, the final C I want to look at before we can think about how we can walk out into the fullness of thankfulness is criticism. Because criticism, again, it can rob our thankfulness. Now, there's always something that could be better. You can definitely walk out of here today and say, oh, the talk could have been better. Or you might think, oh, my kids could have been better behaved. You know, there's always things in life that can be better. We lived as a family in South Africa for 7 months. And when my husband had been out to visit, we were living in an Irish community. And he said, oh, Susie, he said, you're going to love it. They've got a luxury VIP cabin that they've said we can have as a family. So I went out thinking, we're fine. We've got the luxury cabin. And then we got there late one night. They said, here's where you're going to live for the next 7 months. And, you know, without sounding too critical, it wasn't the luxury cabin. It was this tiny little shoebox. And from my shoebox, I could look out on the luxury cabin, which was empty. Yeah, but God every morning spoke to me about being thankful for the roof we had over our heads and the house that we were living in. And actually, we weren't learned so much as a family by sharing and inhabiting this space together. And God taught me so much about not coveting my neighbor's cabin. But on the wall of our cabin, our beautiful cabin that was our home for 7 months, and we have very fond memories of, there was a sign. And it said, life doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. And I just think that's so powerful when we're thinking about how we cannot be critical or complain. Life doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. And actually, I think it's so powerful when we hold that as a truth. Things don't have to be perfect. And actually, if we want to be happy, accepting that life isn't perfect is really powerful. Because often, I won't use the less happy people I know. I don't want to use the word grumpy. But often, the thing that marks them is that complaining, isn't it? And criticism. And actually, it doesn't make that person happier if they're complaining all the time or criticizing. And it doesn't make the person on the receiving end happier either. So criticism, it's not benign. It has real power. And we can take so much for granted in what we have in our lives. I had the privilege of visiting my sister, whom we mentioned, who lives in Tanzania. But when we were there, we actually got caught up in some really nasty political unrest. So instead of being on holiday, we had to hide in her house, and we could hear bombs going off and gunfire, and then we had to like make a dash to the airport. And amazingly, our plane was one of the only ones leaving Tanzania at the time. So we were able to leave safely. But actually, even that 2 or 3 days of experiencing political unrest has just made me take stock of how grateful I am that actually we live in a largely really peaceful country and that we have so much to be grateful for when we're here. And we can all get into the habit of criticizing our country and the things that don't work as well as they should. But actually, if we can be thankful, we would all feel so much happier. So I now need, I need 4 volunteers to look at practically how we can change our perspective. I need someone to hold the cross for me. Who's going to come and be my cross carrier? Yep, come up. Let's have the cross. So this, when we focus on the cross, when we put it at the forefront, we have that attitude of gratitude. Now I need 3 people to come and carry up the 3 C's that can block our perspective. I need 3 volunteers. You have to be quite strong. I've got some proper... Yeah, come up. I've got some rocks for you. Yeah, come up. I need 1 more. Yeah, you just need to not drop. Yeah, at the back. As long as... Yeah. Now, what I want you to do, if you imagine the 3 C's, we've got comparison. I want you to block the cross with the comparison. We've got cares and worries, and I need 1 more person. And we've got criticism. So these are all little blocks from the garden this morning. And can you see that when we put them in front of the cross, we just lose sight of Jesus. But what happens when now all these rocks, I want you to come behind the cross. Yeah? Further behind. Let's go right behind. Yeah, right behind. So they haven't necessarily completely gone away, although let's completely hide them. Because actually, if we change our perspective, if we re-posture ourselves towards thankfulness and put them behind Jesus, put them behind the cross, we've actually got an amazing antidote. And the thankfulness that we've all walked in today, we can walk in every day of our lives. Because every day actually should be a Thanksgiving Sunday, shouldn't it? Let's challenge ourselves to have that attitude of gratitude we've had this morning every single day when we wake up. What are we thankful for? But right, thank you very much. You can sit back down. I don't want to let me just hide these away. So just to finish, I'm going to give you just my favorite verse in scripture, which is, I think, the practical outworking of those 3 C's. Philippians 4:6-7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's already done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything and anything you can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your minds as you live in him. So just as we finish, don't worry about anything. God, that he is with us in our cares, our comparison, and our criticism. All of those things are actually rooted in worry or fear that we don't have enough or we won't have enough. But let's follow the biblical principle. Let's not worry about these things. Let's give them to Jesus. Let's pray about everything. So actually, let's take those worries and burdens to the cross. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's already done. Now, what I love is it says, tell God what you need, not what you want. Tell him what we need and actually thank him. This is where thankfulness is the power. Thank him for what he's already done. Remember his miraculous provision, his healing, the words of knowledge, the things he's done in your life. Do not let that worry silently rob you of your thankfulness, but instead remember the times that God's come through for you. And don't let those worries and problems rob you of your thankfulness in Jesus. So let's refocus our perspective on the cross. Let's not let comparison, cares, or criticisms block our thankfulness. And let's really, really, every day, every morning, focus and remember on what he's done. And then we get to live the wonderful, beautiful, God-filled, exciting adventure with Jesus that he's called each one of us to. But thank you and have a great Sunday.
Thank you very much. Shall we clap our hands and appreciate the gift of God in our sister and Doc? Thank you very much. I'm sure all of us, there's one of the C's you can identify with there that you've done before in this month of December. Some even maybe this morning, one of them. Maybe it's a care. Maybe you've been worrying like a real warrior, worry of worry. Worry is borrowing tomorrow's problems, which will never happen. So we're going to pray. We've been told to posture our hearts. These things are going to block the cross from us. And we don't want to finish the year without seeing the cross because there is a care there. So we are going to cast our burdens on Jesus and also a critical spirit. Some of us, we are criticizing. We always see what's wrong. If you enter a room, what's wrong? If you go to a place, what's wrong? You don't have an eye that sees what's right until you end up criticizing even yourself. Even yourself. I'm not good enough. I'm this, I'm that. Your self-talk even. You don't realize I'm actually criticizing myself now, no longer somebody else. So we're just going to respond to this word to say, Lord, as we finish this year, we repent where we've been worrying because you told us in Matthew 6 not to worry about anything. And we've been disobedient. Worry is disobedience. So we want to say, Lord, forgive me where I've been disobedient. Maybe I was worrying about my health, as we have heard. Maybe I was worrying about my marriage. Maybe I was worrying about my children, my nation. Whatever we worried about, we just want to say to the Lord, forgive us for that. Because there is no faith in worry. And there is no faith in fear. And also, if you were criticizing yourself or someone else, let us ask God for that grace that help me to see people through the eyes of love. And let me be patient, give people room to grow. We are all a works in program. God, we are God's construction site. He's not finished with us. Therefore, we have to be patient with those who are not where we are yet. So we're going to ask God for the grace. And we are going to ask God that we don't compare ourselves. Actually, I was reading this week. The Bible calls it unwise. Another version says it's foolish. Foolishness to compare yourself with someone. So maybe some of us were unwise. We compared yourself with someone. Maybe you compared even your child with someone's child, even the two children or three. Somewhere, there's no way God will give us this word in our thankfulness day if we are not doing any of that. So maybe it's one of us, maybe it's two of us. I can even see myself in this message. So I am repenting where I have had cares. So let's just respond. So the enemy does not come and steal this word from us before we seal it in our hearts. So we're going to just take time and say, Lord, you have spoken to me this word. And my response to you is, I'm turning around. You open my eyes. I don't want anything to block the cross. Maybe it's not even one of these three C's that is blocking the cross for you. It can be any other thing. Say, Lord, whatever might be blocking me from seeing Jesus as he really is and seeing people through the eyes of Jesus, Lord, let it be removed in this service right here, right now. So I'm just giving us a few minutes, you pray. The anchor scripture we've been given, Philippians 4, 6, 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Just pray your own prayer silently before your God. I just give us 2 minutes to do that. Just tell God what's condition of your heart in light of the word you heard.